White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Coolies, dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Woodbridge.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. Iole and I sat in the sun on the veranda of the native house, where we'd been taken when two Malays picked us up after 72 hours swimming. The natives seemed most concerned about our infected hands and legs, and were doing their best to treat them by bathing them in hot water. Presently a Malay girl came and bandaged us up. We started to feel more human, and were just deciding what to do next, when out of the jungle walked a figure dressed in spotless white pants and shirt. He walked towards us and stood looking at us for a while.
Who on earth?
It looks like Charlie Chan.
I can't tell if he's Chinese or Japanese. He looks more like a Chinaman.
I am.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you see, I speak English. Can I help you in any way?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We didn't mean to be rude. It's a wonderful relief to find someone we can talk to.
Our Malays is very weak.
These people are very primitive, but good souls. You are British?
Australian. We're from the hospital in Singapore. The ship we were evacuating in was shelled.
So many were. I too was escaping from Singapore. I was taken prisoner and have escaped. And am trying to get through to Java.
Where are we?
You are on Bunker Island, which is in Japanese hands.
Yes, we know that. We almost helped them take it.
How so?
When we were on the raft, we mistook Japanese landing boats for rocks. They were apparently coming in to take the island.
Are there only the two of you?
Yes. The others were swept away from us on the raft with a strong current while we were trying to land. We've been swimming since Saturday.
Saturday? But this is Tuesday. It has been a long swim.
Yes, too long.
If I may suggest, you should give yourselves up. There are a few white people in a native jail in Muntok who have been taken prisoner. These people would care for you, but I think it would be wiser for you to go.
Well, where do we go and what do we do?
I will guide you to the native temple where you could wait until the Japs come. If you are ready.
Yes, we're ready.
Yes, wait a bit, Jeff. The old boy wants us.
Cindy Sepetto.
Shoes. Oh, how wonderful.
There'll be a help. Can you get them over your bandages, Iole?
They're sort of sandal things for them. I think I can get them on. Oh, there.
Cindy Sepetto.
I feel quite civilized. Oh, well, there we go. We followed the Chinese across the clearing and into the little native temple. It was cool and dim inside, and after he'd settled us, he politely bade us farewell and disappeared as quietly as he came. The dear old Malay man came to us presently and said,
Makanan, makan, bagus, zikli, bagus.
What's this?
Food. Oh, isn't it wonderful, Jeff? Look. A tin of Australian preserved apricots open and ready to eat.
Oh, wonderful.
And some rice and fish. Oh, terima kasih.
Terima kasih, Kumali.
What's he thanking us for?
No, he wasn't. He was saying you're welcome.
Oh.
Oh, let's hurry in. I'm starving. Sounds like someone coming. This is probably it. I wonder, can we take the fish in our pockets?
Not me. I'm going to take it in my tummy.
Probably safer.
Oh, it's the nips, all right. Hordes of them. They're swarming off a truck in an unending stream. It looks like a Keystone Comedy. Good heavens.
What is it?
Oh, they're running towards us, fixing their bayonets to their rifles as they come. Jeff, what'll we do?
Well, there's nothing we can do. If they mean business, we've just got to take it. It's been nice knowing you, Ioli.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed. They may just be practicing.
Sounds like a lot of grunts.
You don't say.
Oh, they're going to get along fine.
No matter.
Oh, this is hopeless. They really do mean business. Here come the bayonets. Ouch!
Ah. I think they only mean us to stay put, not to run us through.
Mine's sticking into the button of my belt. And the shank's sticking into me. I wonder if I could move it down a little.
Try and see what happens.
Now look, Bonzo. Don't panic. I'll just move it down. There. Yeah, that's better.
Look, we can't go on like this all day. My knees are giving. Let's show them the buttons on our uniforms.
Maybe they didn't take geography and won't recognize Australia when they see it. However, we can try. Hey, you, Bonzo. Look at this.
Well, try Malay. Liat.
Look, you little fathead. Australia.
Look at the map on the button. Australia.
Americano!
Not Americano, fathead. Australia. Australia.
Well, I don't think being Australia is going to be much better.
What are we going to do?
We couldn't do anything. It was hopeless trying to make them understand. However, eventually, after nearly every one of them came up and looked at our buttons, the one who seemed to be their commanding officer told us, by jabbing at us, to get into the truck. We walked to it, with the bayonets prickling our spines. I wonder where they'll take us.
Nantuck, probably.
Take it easy.
Look out.
Well, if we hit a good bump, we'll be stabbed, whether they mean it or not.
Drive like maniacs.
Oh,
well, hold on, we're coming to a corner.
Oh, heavens, now what?
They stop it. Look, they're taking their bayonets off their rifles.
I don't know what you're talking about, old boy.
Oh, for heaven's sake. He's offering us cigarettes and a packet of biscuits. I wonder why.
I've no idea, but we'll keep them for after.
Shoshana!
We were off again, bumping and lurching down the dusty road, till a few miles further on they stopped again. Made us get out, changed their minds, and made us get in again. Then they gave us each a cup of water. Then off we went again, twisting and turning and bumping down little roads for about an hour. We were exhausted, and the sun and dust didn't help. Eventually we drove into Muntoc and were taken to a house which appeared to be a temporary headquarters. We were given a chair each and told to sit on the veranda. At least it was cool.
Oh, well, this is better. I thought we'd never come to the end of that awful drive, Jeff.
There's our friend Bonzo talking to two of his mates and pointing at us. I suppose they have to guard us.
Well, just so long as they don't make us do anything. Oh, I'm so tired.
Ioli, look what they're doing.
Huh?
I wonder if this is their idea of humor.
Oh, little horrors. Well, if we are going to be shot, why assemble their machine guns right in front of us?
Look, I don't intend to watch them. I'll just put my head on my arm and go to sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Both of us fell asleep at once. I dreamt about bath salts, clean clothes, and roast lamb. Next thing I knew, I felt a hand on my shoulder.
What?
Oh, it's you, Bonzo. They want us to go inside. The machine gunners have already gone in. Well, I'm darned if I'm going in. If they want to shoot us, let them come out here.
Okay.
We'll have to go in. There's nothing we can do about it. Come on, Jeff. Look, they've got some food ready for us. And I was thinking the worst.
Well, it's quite a relief.
They're doing us proud.
Oh, look what's here. A whole tin of bully beef and some dry biscuits.
I couldn't eat a thing.
Nor me.
Don't want it. Not hungry. They tried to make us eat and did make us drink hot milk and water. An officer tried his best to be decent to us, but we just couldn't understand each other. So he sat and smiled and smoked. And we sat and wondered what was to become of us. Ioli and I sat in the room in the little house in Mantok, which appeared to be a temporary headquarters. The Japanese officer, after futile attempts to talk to us, made us follow him into another room where Japs were lying on the floor, clad only in G-strings. He wanted us to show them what to put on their wounds. We can't do anything for them, not with our hands bandaged like this.
Oh, what a mess. You'd think they'd know themselves to clean them up.
What's he showing us?
Hmm?
Bottles of something.
Oh. Yes, bathe them with that.
Bring it over here to this basin. Bathe. Look, like this.
We're off again. Where to this time, I wonder?
Oh, we seem to be heading right outside and down the road. I hope it isn't too far.
Oh, this darned sun never seems to go down.
Oh, come on, hurry up. He's losing us. Well, wherever we're going, we're here.
What a queer-looking place. Looks like a jail. This is definitely it. He's pointing at us to go in.
Well, this looks a bit scrubby. They've put us in with the Malays.
This might be just a sort of clearing station. It seems a bit informal. I wonder where we go.
Just wander about until we can find someone we can ask.
Jenny! Come and look!
Who is it?
Oh, no! It's Jeff!
Jeff! Over here!
Over here, Jeff!
Hey, Jeff!
Who's that? Where are you?
It's two Malay women.
Jeff, it's me, Woody!
Oh, gosh, Jeff, it is good to see
me!
Wonderful!
Oh.
And Jenny!
Oh,
come inside. Some of the others are here.
Hey, kids! Look who's just come in!
It's Woody and Arnold!
How are you?
Jeff!
Jenny, it's wonderful to know that someone else came out of the sea. We thought you were Malays.
We were getting very high-hat.
Woody, what are you girls doing all dressed up like that in sarongs?
Oh, we're lucky to have anything, Aoli. Wait till you see some of the others. They've got on old navy shorts and anything they can lay their hands on.
And every one of us with raw chins like yours. Yes. The mark of the shipwrecked mariner.
Oh.
But Jeff, what's the matter with your hands?
Oh, they got burnt sliding down the rope from the Viner Brook. And we both got cut about on the mangrove roots and snags.
We had the longest swim in history. How did you kids get in, anyway?
Oh, we had a frightful time.
Oh, look, don't try and tell them now. They look all in. You better have a rest and we'll swap lies later. Come on, you two. We'll take you over to our...
How long have you been here? Well, what's it like? Are they going to keep us here? Oh, Lord, there's so much to talk about. We were taken inside and surrounded by still more Australian sisters. They were all sunburnt. And Wilma Oram was there, walking about the place with an awful-looking scalp wound on the top of her head. Actually, she was very lucky, as the 6 rafts we'd seen thrown from the Viner Brook had hit her on the head. She must have had the skull of an ox. I walked past another Malay, and to my amazement, she said to me,
"Well, hello there! You're a bit haughty today, aren't you, old thing?"
"Del! I didn't recognize you. You're all so brown and in those sarongs or whatnot. You look a far cry from trim nursing sisters."
"Oh, look who's talking. Who else is with you?"
"Aoli Harper, 2nd 13th AGH."
"Don't start yawning, Jeb. You've got to get some sleep. We'll have plenty of time to talk later."
Aoli was taken off by her friends from her unit, and I fell exhausted in my allotted piece of sleeping space, too unconscious to know much of what was going on. When I woke, we all met again, and how we talked. These sisters all had terrible tales to tell of how they eventually got ashore from the Viner Brook. Some landed on the pier. Others were scattered miles along the beach and had walked towards the pier. Then they were all taken prisoner and herded into a customs house, where they spent 2 days before they were marched out of town and into this awful place where we were all installed. We told them our story.
"Yes, we had just about as bad..."
"Yes, kids, and here we are.
You know, we hold the record for a long endurance swim."
"I'll bet you do, Aoli."
"Well, how many of us are there?"
"There are 31 now, counting you two. 34 still missing."
"Matron Paskey isn't here, is she? And Ennis?"
"No, haven't turned up yet. But they will if Matron can tee it up."
"Well, look, what about the people and our girls who left the Viner Brook in the lifeboat in charge of Matron Drummond?"
"That's right. Who was amongst that lot? There was Viv Bullwinkle, wasn't there?
Yes,
and
yes.
Who else?"
"Yes. Oh, we've been trying to make a list and sort out who's missing. Say, Jeff, what's happened to your arms?"
"I don't know. They just won't come down. When I woke up, they were stuck in the air in a hands-up position, and I can't even reach my mouth the way they are."
"That shouldn't worry you much. There's precious little to put in it."
"Yes. Well, look, to get back to Matron Drummond... When we were at sea on the raft, we saw them grouped round a fire. We nearly got in, remember, Jeff?"
"That was our second try, wasn't it?"
"Yes."
"Del, weren't you with that lot?"
No, I floated on my own. I started out on the raft, but I got washed off.
"No.
I don't remember very clearly what happened until I crawled up onto the beach. I thought I was the only person in the world. It was so dark, and I couldn't hear anything except the waves." "Is anyone there? Ahoy! There must be somebody.
Help me.
Where are you? I can't see a thing.
I'm under the water. I can't get out.
Hold on, I'll find you. Where are you now?
This way. I can see you. Over here. Please help me." "Oh,
wait a bit. Where? Oh, there you are. Oh, sorry, did I kick you?"
"Oh, can you help me out of the water?"
"Now, come on now, put your arms around my neck. That's it. Now. Let's see if we can find out what's happened to you. Anything broken?"
No, I don't think so. You see, I'm going to have a baby. And something hit me in the water. A piece of wreckage, I think.
I'll have to find somewhere to take you, dear. Do you think you can walk?
Oh, there's nowhere to go. I was crawling out for a long time before you came.
Can't you hear that firing? There must be somebody pulling triggers. See if we can get up on the beach and find out where it is. Just a little further. This road must lead somewhere.
But we didn't know which way to go. This may be going away from the town.
No, I don't think so. The firing's close. We can't be far now. Ah, don't worry. We'll make it.
Oh, I don't think I can't go much farther.
Look, you're doing fine. And look ahead there. There's buildings. We've made it. You'll soon be safe. Oh, we stumbled into the town and I propped the woman against the wall of a building to go and have a reconnoitre.
Poor thing.
Yeah, well, I wasn't at all sure or happy about the firing. I walked towards the general direction of the noise and I came to a corner and I peered around it. There was a Jap with a rifle. A line of men of all nationalities firing towards him one by one, see? Well, he was loading his rifle and just shooting one after the other. Yeah, the dead were being hauled away by the other Japs. Well, I thought to myself, well, this is it. Let's get it over. I walked around the corner. I went up to him and I said, where do you want me to stand?
You're on the end of the line. Your turn will come.
Does this little ape speak English?
He doesn't talk at all. He only shoots. Go away and let him get on with it.
No, keep talking. I am next, and to live is sweet, if only for next last few minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hold you boys up, but I just wanted to know... Let go my arm, you little monkey! Hey, where are you taking me?
Mazook
yourself! What do you think you're pushing me?
Come on, Mazook!
He means. Quickly, my friend. Follow.
Perhaps there will be no more shooting today.
Well, I was pushed into a sort of a cinema where there were other women waiting, and the Jap made the rest of the men come in, too. Oh, the Dutchman was right. There was no more killing that day. Yes, well, later we were marched to the customs house where I met up with some of the kids, and we all did the long walk here.
Well, what happened to the woman?
Well, I told them where she was. They brought her in and took her off somewhere. I didn't see her again.
I didn't see her again. How often in the days to come we heard that statement about our friends and comrades. We wondered if we'd ever see any of them again. Matron Paskey, Viv Bullwinkle, and any of the other 32 sisters still missing. What had happened to them? What was going to happen to us?
Listen again for a further episode in this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, specially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.